Thank you, Pastor Dennis, for the young lady part. Actually, for the whole part. It's a wonderful privilege to be here with you tonight. I feel like I'm so far away from you. I've never been up here on this platform, but I sit down there sometimes and I think, I wonder if it is as far away as it looks, because it looks really far away. Well, it is. It's very far away. But it's wonderful to be here with you tonight. And I just, you know, I want the Lord to touch you tonight. Because I know that we ladies are so busy right now. Anybody busy? I work in retail. Do I have to say any more? It's like I don't know that there will be any returns after Christmas, because I think we've taken them all before Christmas. You know, I think that they've rounded up all the other stores and they've it's a conspiracy. They're bringing them all back to Brandon, you know. But anyway, it's a challenging time of year. But you've set time aside to come out and to minister to the Lord. And you know what? As a result, He's going to minister to you. Amen? Amen. So just close your eyes for just a minute. Forget about all the stuff you haven't wrapped, ladies. It'll take you 5 hours to wrap it, and they'll unwrap it in 5 minutes. So just forget about it and say, Jesus, touch me tonight. Change me tonight, Lord. Minister to me tonight, Lord. Let me never be the same. In your name I pray. Amen. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. For thou art the potter, and I am the clay, and mold me and make me after thy will. Yielded and still, sing it with me. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. For thou art the potter, and I am the clay, and mold me and make me after thy will. And one more time, we're getting there. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. For thou art the potter, and I am the clay, and mold me and make me after thy will. And while I am waiting, yielded and still. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your anointing, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I've found in my life that the problem is the clay. Turn to your neighbor and say, the problem is the clay. All the problems that we have, they all go back to the clay. Could I have the pulpit down here? Is that a bad thing? Would something blow up or if we moved it? Is it attached up there? I just like it down here with you better. I always wondered if I would get feedback if I came down here. Now I know. When you get under the anointing, you know, you just kind of do stuff. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. The problem is the clay. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you would turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. I was born in the ministry, I guess you could say. My parents were missionaries to Africa when I was born, so I'm African. I was born there in Africa. Isn't God funny? I mean, not only am I white, because I was born in black Africa, but I'm like the whitest person on the planet, you know. I mean, I'm like, my undertone is notebook paper white. I mean, I'm really white. So I grew up in a village of all black people. I never saw any white people until I was almost 4 years old. And so I thought the whole world was black, and there were these three white people, and that was it. And my friends used to tell me at school, they'd say, you know what? God took you out of the oven too soon, because you were going to be black, but he took you out too soon, and so now you're not done. And that's the whole problem. I'm half-baked, you know. So I grew up thinking, you know, your parents always tell you that when you're old enough, you're never old enough. Did you remember that when you were a kid? Whatever it is, you're never old enough. You never are. So I would think when I got old enough, I would turn black. And I would pray for that every single day, because I was the only white kid in my whole school. I was the only kid, get this, that wore clothes in my school. Now let's talk embarrassing and humiliating. You know, I mean, the kids would say, so like, what is wrong with you? That you have to cover up your body with all those clothes. And I'd say, no, really, I'm normal, I promise, you know. And I would tell Mom, I'd say, please, do not make me wear clothes today. Just let me go like 1 week without clothes. And she would, one day she got so sick of that, she goes, if you cannot go naked because you are white and it will show up more. And all you ladies know that black covers a multitude of sins. So I thought, that's true. I would stick out, wouldn't I? But I mean, church was all different in Africa. Nobody comes to church to see what anybody else is wearing, because, honey, we know what you're wearing. You're wearing the same thing you wore last week. Nothing. We had an official come from Springfield to visit. And, you know, African people, they like to be real close. If you go into like a doctor's waiting room or something and there's like 10 empty chairs and there's one person sitting there, in Africa, they'll come and sit right beside you. You know, we think, how weird, because we all want our space. But Africans, they want to be close together, you know, because they just love each other. And so he came into church, and I mean, we could easily pack, I don't know, 20,000 people into this building, you know, no problem. And my dad used to say a bicycle drove up and 15 Africans got off, you know, because that's just the way the African people are. They like to be close. And this district official came from Springfield, and it was so funny. After a while being in the church, I mean, people dancing, you know, 10,000 naked people, you know. After a while, he just said, I think I'm going to be sick. And Dad said, is it the humidity? He said, no, it's the humanity. He said, it's killing me. But I grew up just with normal, you know, just people, you know. You just learn to love people. You learn to love them without all the facade and all the charades and all the games that we here in America play and all the polo emblems. I mean, I grew up without any of that. And you know what? I really thank God for that, because I learned true Christianity from those people. They truly loved me, and I truly saw people that faced incredible persecution and just incredible things in their lives. Africans have the most wonderful spirits of any people, I believe, in the world. They just are able to rise above it. I believe that African Christians one day will come to America, and they'll be missionaries, that they will win the world because of the incredible spirit that God has placed within these people. They are strong. It's only their economics that have kept them back. And we need to pray for Africa, that God will just enable the church to just rise up as never before. But I found out throughout my life, you know, it doesn't make you immune to problems just because you're born into the right family. How many of you know that? I mean, I was born into the right family. At the time when I was growing up, my father was Mr. Assemblies of God. I mean, he was one of the biggest fundraisers in the Assemblies of God. I mean, I was like a poodle at the dog show, you know? You know how the poodle is? He's got his little dog tags, and he's got the goofiest haircut in there. But, I mean, still, the poodle's just, you know, I'm a poodle. He's got that poodle attitude, and I was a poodle. You know, I came from the right stock. I went to Southeastern Bible College. You know, I mean, I had everything going for me. And I believe that if you did everything right, then everything would, you know, would be all right in your life. But you know what? Life has a way of changing your theology. You know, if you don't believe in healing, some people don't believe in healing, and then they get sick, and all of a sudden it's amazing how their theology changes. And my theology has changed many times over. And now, you know, I preach a real gospel to real people because I've been there and I've done that. And I don't just say, gee, I'm sorry, because I know. God didn't make me go through things, but God has allowed me to go through things to make me the woman that He needed me to be. Because I have to believe that He saw potential in me and certain attitudes He just couldn't tolerate. Certain little poodle things that I had, you know. And how the little poodle just walks. Like, I'm a poodle. And that's the way I was. But man, a couple days I lost my tags and my license, got kicked out of the kennel club, you know. Didn't take me long. But I found in my life that it's the clay that's always the problem. Always the flesh. Anybody struggle with the flesh? Anybody at all? It's the clay that's the problem. But here, this is one of my favorite verses of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And in my Bible it says, treasures in jars of clay. It says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Church, it is through God's mercy that we have this ministry. I found out a long time ago, I've quit the ministry a whole bunch of times. But you know what I found out? I'm not allowed to quit. Because if God can't quit on me, then I can't quit on Him. So I'm not allowed to quit. The thing is that I lose heart easily. But I need to realize that I have this ministry, and it's because of His mercy that I have it. You see, I didn't choose Him, but He chose me. I didn't choose to be born in Africa. I didn't choose to have preach in me, but God chose me and He anointed me in spite of the mess that I am and that I would make. He still chose me. And you know what? It goes for you too. I'm setting you up. And I've quit. Oh, I've quit. I've packed up my stuff. I've turned in my papers. I burned my papers one time. It doesn't matter, because it's not the papers. It's the anointing. It's His hand on you. Once God puts His hand on you, that's it. That's it. And some of you, you know, you wonder what's wrong in your life. I'll tell you, you're fighting against God Himself, because He's placed it in you. His anointing is upon you, and you're trying to sit in the last pew, and you're trying to do something else. But I'm going to tell you what, His hand is on you. And you're just having a clay problem. Clay is very interesting. I took pottery one time in school, and I am about as artistic as a brown paper bag. I mean, stick people are as far as I can go, and what's sad about my stick people is I draw them and you say, what is that? My stick people need written words to explain what they are. I just am not artistic. I mean, I can decorate, I can tell you how to do it, but I am just not an artist with my hands. Can't draw at all. But I took pottery one time, and boy, was that interesting. I mean, it was like you'd get on that wheel, and it looks easy. You know, it looks like, oh, this could be fun. But you get there, it's not that easy, because you get one side going right and the other side is not right. And it's just all walk-sided, you know, and then you just go, well, forget this, you know. And you just start over. You just go, here we go again, you know. The thing with clay is that you have to get it in the right state. Alabama, Florida, no. You have to get it at the right temperature. You have to get the right amount of water in it. Because when you get it in the right place, you see, you can really do something with it. But when the temperature changes and there's too much water and there's too much earth, clay, dirt, whatever in it, you can't do a thing with it. You know, we're like that. Sometimes God has to get us into a place that He can really do something with us. Because we've just got that poodle thing going on, you know. And God has to put a little, just chill out. You know, He gives us a big dollop of water, you know, so that He can make us, so that He can mold us into what He wants us to be. Because even though we might be a nice salt shaker, He knows He's going to take us and make us into a big, beautiful bowl that He can pour His anointing through. Then, you know, you have to take the pottery and you put it into the fire, into the kiln. Have any of you ever done that? It's really interesting. I mean, they heat it to an incredible heat. And then I remember one time when I made this thing, I painted it. And I told my instructor what color I wanted it to be. And he got the paint out and we painted it. And it was like, this is not the color I want. And he said, just wait. When it faces the heat, it's going to be incredible. And when you put the paint on there, it looks just really dull. I mean, really, I can't, there's just no shine to it. The color doesn't even look right. But when it goes into, after it comes out of that kiln, it's glossy and it's beautiful. I mean, you can almost see yourself in it. It is so beautiful. And you see, God takes us and He gets us into a place that He can mold us into what He needs. It's not that what we are is so terrible. It's just that it's not what He needs. And so He molds us into what He knows that we can be. And He gets us at different stages where, look what I made. And everyone goes, ugh. That's great. Happy for you. That's what other people say when they see us. But we're a work in progress. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a work in progress. I saw that. I heard that. We're just a work in progress. There are days that I think, man, I have really arrived. And then 2 days later, I'm the pit. I think, I don't know anything. I never knew anything. God, forgive me for saying that I knew anything. That happens 5 minutes after you think you got there, you know. You know what it is? It's a clay problem. Clay problem. But the Word says that we have this ministry through His mercy, and we don't need to lose heart. I want to tell you, church, tonight, don't lose heart. I know it's a time of year when things are so busy, and maybe God has promised some of you things in your life, and this year you just have not seen it come to pass. But I'm going to tell you that God sent me here tonight to tell you that this is a time to not lose heart. Do you hear me? Even though you tried and you sowed and you haven't seen it come to pass, God says to you this night, it is not a night to lose heart, because I've given you this ministry and I've placed it within you and I've burned it in you. And don't lose heart now. Don't give up now. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways, and we do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Do you realize that? I saw that yesterday. I was leaving the mall, and man, when you leave Brandon in the evening, it is so crowded. And there was this person that just wanted to change lanes. They just wanted to get across. And this other guy in this car, I mean, he would not let that person through. Even when the traffic cleared, he just sat there just to be mean. And I thought, well, Merry Christmas to you too, buddy. You know, and I just watched the whole thing. And then all of a sudden, you know what? I thought, wait a minute. He's just doing his job. He's a heathen, and he's just doing the best he can at what he's called to do. You know, we Christians, we just jump up and we just go, well, I just can't believe that. What? You know what? They're doing what they're called to do. You haven't ever. Because you've never served the devil like they're serving the devil. They're just doing what they're called to do and what they know to do. And it's up to us. You know, so many times when we see something like that, we go, oh, I can't believe that. When we see somebody at work act up, we just get all offended. You know, oh, you know, God, get me out of here. I pray that God turns the heat up on you so strong that your light finally shines like it is supposed to shine. Do you hear me? I pray God doesn't get you out of there if you're the only Christian. I pray that He makes you shine so bright in the darkness that, I mean, every heathen around you is going to be so convicted that they'll fall on their face before God just when you walk in there. I mean it. Well, I can't believe they did that. I can. Because they're heathens. You see, you have to realize where I grew up. I mean, it wasn't uncommon in testimony services for Africans to stand up and say, I want to praise God because since I started coming to this church and I got saved, I don't eat people anymore. Where I grew up in West Africa, they eat other people, cannibals. Now, I'll just give you this, no extra charge. But the way you tell a cannibal is every time they eat human flesh in West Africa, they will file one tooth to a point. So if you ever get in an elevator, the guy smiles at you, all his teeth are to a point, get off as quickly as possible. If they say, would you like a piece of candy, little girl? You say, no. Because it's a pork chop in his eyes, you know. Somehow got that. But we just get so offended when heathens act like heathens. They're just doing their job. We just get mad because we're not as good at being Christians as they are at being heathens. And listen, don't you shout me down in this Methodist church. Because some of y'all, when you serve the devil, you used to stay up all night rocking and rolling. But how come it is when you're the first one to leave church? When you were a heathen, you did a good job of it. You'd work all day long and you could, I mean, some of these people that I work with, I mean, it's 10 o'clock. I am dragging myself out of that store, you know. I mean, I can barely shut the gate and they say, I'm going out dancing. I say, you have got to be kidding. You have not been on your feet enough today? And they say, yeah, but I was working. Now I'm going to have fun. Because that's their passion. You see, if you want to know what the world really needs, it's not Coca-Cola. What the world needs is they need to see some smothered, covered, marinated Christians. They need us to be so smothered and covered and marinated in Jesus that we just, I mean, it just oozes out of our pores. That the anointing just comes forth from us. That any little bit of pressure that's put on us, that I mean, His love just, whoa, it just comes out all over the place. They don't need another book. They don't need another televangelist. They don't need to see some other scandal. They don't need, you know, all this stuff that we think they need. They don't need another track. They need a living epistle, living life before them. They need to see somebody that really loves them, somebody that really turns the other cheek. That's what they need. You see, Africa is a really smelly place. I wish sometimes you could see it in smell-o-vision. There are so many smells in Africa. I mean, it's... And fish is a big smell there. Very popular. Fish is very popular. I mean, they dry it, they smoke it, they do everything with fish. They don't have a lot of words like we do, you know. Like we have, you know, when we have flowers, we have all different kinds of flowers. Well, they can't be bothered with that. It's a flower. What is this? It's a flower. What is wrong with you? What kind of flower? It's a flower flower. Any more questions? Same way with fish. What kind of fish is this? River fish. It can be this big or it can be this big, but it's river fish. But I'm going to tell you what, fish are smelly, aren't they? Fish are really smelly. But you have to think about this. When the disciples started following Jesus, what did they used to do? They were fishermen. They probably took one bath and it didn't work. But the longer that they followed Jesus, the less they smelled like the world fish, and the more they smelled like Him. Pretty soon they didn't smell like fish at all, because they were about the Father's business. The problem is, we got a lot of locker room Christians. They got B.O. and they try and cover it up with perfume, you know? That's the worst. You see, we're not close enough to Jesus to smell like Him, because we keep meddling over in the things of the world. But God has called us to bear fruit, and to bear fruit that lasts. And some of us, it would be so sad. And I live right where you are. It would be so sad if I didn't fulfill what God had for me because I could never overcome my flesh. And it's a daily battle every single day. My flesh never goes on vacation. It's disgusting. I mean, what a rowdy bunch. Never goes on vacation, never takes 5 minutes off. When left to itself, we'll eat all the Twinkies in the cupboard. Unbelievable. You would think that after going to church all these years, my flesh would at least get it together a little bit. But it doesn't. It's always a clay problem. It's always a flesh problem. But you see, it says that God has called us to preach to these people that the gospel doesn't mean anything to them. They don't understand it, because it says right here that they're blinded. By the God of this age has blinded their minds. But we do not preach ourselves. And I'm going to tell you what, this is an important thing. Because so many of us, the devil's come to us and he said, you can't minister because of stuff in your life. Well, guess what? I'm not preaching me. I'm not preaching from 1 Marcia 3:4. Now, sometimes I do, Doug will tell you. I'll say, ring, ring, wah, 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 Charlie Brown's teacher. And he'll say, where's that? I say, 1 Marcia 3:4. That old familiar passage of Scripture. But we don't preach ourselves. I got news for you. When we went to Africa, we did not bring a Sears catalog and say, now all y'all that have come down for salvation, we want you to pick out 3 outfits from here. Because you know what? We didn't come there to preach our American culture. We came there to preach Jesus, the light of the world. But you know what we found? As people began to come to Jesus and as they got saved, they would just turn up with clothes on. And we'd say, why are you wearing clothes? And they say, don't you like it? Oh, no, we like it. But why are you wearing it? Well, we just, you know what, since we came to Jesus, we just feel more comfortable if we wear clothes. We didn't tell them. They just did it. Because if you just bring them and love them, God has a way of cleaning them up. You don't have to preach yourself. Thank you, Jesus. You just have to preach Him. I remember one time we came to America and some pastor said to my dad, it was during the, charismatic movement and everything, and he said, what would you do if all your women came to church wearing pants? My dad said, oh, I would be so glad. Puts it right in perspective, ladies and gentlemen. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And this is where I'm going. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. You see, we're the clay, and we're frail and we're fragile and we make mistakes. I mean, it's a new mistake every second. But back in Jesus' day, they didn't have banks. Hallelujah. They didn't have safe deposit boxes. But they did have valuable things. Money, jewelry, precious stones. So what they would do is, it was their habit to find a piece of pottery, the most ordinary piece of pottery that they could find, and they would hide their treasure in that ordinary jar, because when you looked at that jar, oh, you would never imagine that there could be a treasure within it. Because it was so ordinary. And so if you get up in the morning and you think, oh, Lord, help me, Lord. You look in the mirror, oh, God, an ugly woman snuck into my house. It's just a clay problem, ladies. I went to have some pants altered today, and I said, could you take the waist up? I said, I'm kind of like in between sizes. I said, you know, this other size feels too tight for me, but this size feels too big. She said, it's because your back is so round. I said, well, thanks for sharing. I was thinking it was something a little lower. The clay problem, ladies. But I have found since working in women's clothes that women are, they have more faith than anyone. Because they come in, they're easily a 16, and they ask you for an 8. And you think, to dream the impossible dream. And I'm one of them. Yeah, I wear a 10. It doesn't matter if it doesn't fit. I still wear a 10. Nothing in my closet fits. No, it doesn't, because you keep buying a 10. I have faith. Hallelujah. If I say to those clothes, be bigger. They're not. God says, eat less. That'd be hard, God. It's a clay problem. It's a clay problem. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. You know, clay is very fragile. It can easily be broken, chipped. Anybody been broken and chipped in your life? And you think, I'm nothing. There's nothing in here. My heart's been broken. Nothing. Maybe. But God has a treasure in you. And you find that it's not you, it's Him. And that takes all the pressure off you. Because guess what you do anyway? Nothing. Look at your name and say, nothing. It's not up to me. It's up to Him. Because He's the treasure within me. I can remember back in 1991 when my little boy was born. I'd wanted a baby all my life. You know, women, when we want children, it's a little different for us. You know, it's like from the very time that you hold your first doll, sometimes you just imagine, I'm going to be a mommy one day. And I had traveled for so many years of my life, and at that time we're working in the country of Zaire, the Congo, and with my tapes and albums I was feeding 40,000 children a day at that point when I became pregnant. And I just never was one of those people that thought anything could ever be wrong. But 6.5 months into my pregnancy, I went into labor. And they had to take the baby. And I'll never forget the night he was born. It just wasn't like it should have been. It wasn't like the movies. They decided to take him in 7 minutes, and they took him. And then I remember them just holding him very quickly, and then they took him and they intubated him because he could not breathe on his own. He weighed 2 pounds. And the doctor said, I am so sorry. But he said, this baby, he's not going to make it through the night. And I said, God, how could you do this to me? You know, hello, Marcia. I'm Marcia. Remember Marcia? You think you've got Charles Manson's file or something, you know, confused with my file? I mean, I've done like what I'm supposed to. I'm a poodle, you know, and I got real disappointed in God. But, you know, bad things happen to good people. And the next morning, the doctor came and he said, this child, he said, he's not going to make it. And he said, even if he were to make it, he said, you don't want him to make it. He said, he will never be compatible with life. And I can remember just feeling my miracle just slip through my hand. In the meantime, my father was diagnosed with leukemia. My baby was on the fourth floor of the hospital. My father was on the fifth floor of the hospital, and they said none of them would ever leave. The baby had a massive hemorrhage in his brain. They said that's it. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong. I mean, we were praying, we were fasting, we were believing God the whole time. There were babies that were right beside him that were born to drug addicts that got better. I didn't understand that. But you know what I can say? That God was so faithful. That I faced every obstacle possible, and God was so faithful, right down to the hospital calling and saying, we need you to come down and sign papers because your insurance company has refused coverage on this child, and if you want the life support to continue, you will be personally responsible. And I mean, the enemy jumped on me. God doesn't love you. You've served a God all your life that doesn't love you. Look, there's drug addicts, babies that are breathing on their own, and your baby's struggling for his life. I was so mad at God. I mean, I was. I told him, too. My mom said, don't tell him. My dad said, he knows she's mad at him. My dad was smart that way. Mother goes, well, don't say it. Dad said, he knows it if she's thinking it. But God is patient. And I'll never forget one night, the enemy would come to me at night. If you're going through something, can any of you relate to this? The enemy comes to you at night. I'll never forget. I mean, I walked around in my nightshirt for 3 days one time, really. I was depressed. And he came to me one night, he said, I'm taking you out. I mean, really? He said, I'm going to take you, I'm going to take your dad, I'm going to take your child, I'm going to take your finances. And at that point, I had cried so hard that I couldn't even talk because my voice was just gone. And I just laid there and I cried and I cried and I cried. And you know, when I would go to the neonatal intensive care, they would say, sing to him. You're a singer, aren't you? I said, yeah. Yeah. And they said, well, sing to him because he'll recognize your voice. And do you know, because of the shock that I was in, I could not think of the words to one song. Go figure. But that night, as the enemy was just pounding me, I thought of a song. And I just screamed out as loud as I could. I said, no! Sometimes you just got to say that. And I said, you will not take my father. You will not take my baby. You will not take my finances. You are taking nothing from me. Because I just remembered a song. And you know the problem is sometimes you get in the middle of the battle and you forget your song. You get in the middle of the battle and you forget who you are. My little brother could never say forget. He said, I begot. And sometimes you get in there and you're fighting so hard that you forget that the battle is not yours. It belongs to him. But that night I remembered a song. Now, it wasn't a big song and it wasn't a theological song, but nevertheless, for all you Sunday school and children's church workers, it was a good song. And I went down to the hospital and I stood over that little baby's isolette, and this is the song I sang. I said, Isaac is, he is the temple. Isaac is, he is the temple. Isaac is, he is the temple. He is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I did the hand motions too. Filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. Filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. Filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And he smiled. And the nurse said, that's gas. I said, no, it's not. I said, that is the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you, from that day on, that baby began to get better. You see, the battle was won because I said, you know what? And you know, for the weeks that he was even in the hospital and the months after, they said, he'll never walk. He'll never be normal. And I had women's meetings that I was scheduled to go to. And I mean, I went, I'll never forget one time, I went to Alaska. And I wanted to preach in Alaska about as much as I wanted all my teeth pulled. I just didn't want to preach because you know what? I preached the faithfulness of God. I was reading the faithfulness of God. I knew the faithfulness of God, but I just wasn't experiencing it at that moment in my life. And I didn't want to be a hypocrite. But God said, if you'll go, I'll heal you. Because you see, I had been disappointed. Anybody ever been disappointed at God? Some of you, you've got a mat on at God right now. He didn't come through like you thought he should. And I mean, you still go and serve him and all, but actually you're really mad. You're just ticked off. You're disappointed. You don't understand why. But God said, if you'll go, I'll heal you. And I'm going to tell you what, I went, and as I ministered, the anointing came upon me as I've never known it. And a healing began in my life that, I mean, has carried me through even to this time in my life. That God began to touch me and change me and rearrange me and make me get real and make me get honest so I could really help somebody. Because before, I was full of baloney. Look at your neighbor and say, full of baloney. We got a lot of full of baloney Christianity. We're like Polly Pierce. Oh, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. But I'm going to tell you what, I know what it's like to stand there when the doctor says, this child will never walk. And say, I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. And God, I know when You gave me the baby that You were thinking of me, God, that I am Your daughter. And I know that all good gifts come from You. And God, I don't know what You're doing in my life, but I know when I come out the other side, it's going to be pure gold. Pure gold. You see what you're walking through now, what you're going through, you may not be able to see the right to the right or the left, and you say, God, what is happening? And I'm going to tell you, when you get to the other side, you may never want to go through it again. But I'm going to tell you what, when you do, it will be pure gold in your life. It'll be something that the devil can't take from you. I mean, you'll be grounded and rooted in God, and you'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that, yes, I know my Redeemer lives, because I've been there. I've walked through hell, and He has sustained me. He has fed me. He has watered me. He has nurtured me. He has been everything to me, and I know my Redeemer lives. So if you're walking through a place like that, I'm going to tell you what, hook on to somebody that's been there, done that. I heard a story this week on the radio, and it was so good. It was a story that took place years and years ago. A man, his wife became very ill, and it was during the winter time. And he couldn't get, there was no medicine. She must have had some type of, you know, like asthma or something, that they knew that if they could just get the medicine, she would be all right. But if they didn't get the medicine, she would die. And she just got worse and worse and worse, and the winter was so bitter. But in order to get to town to get this medicine, this man had to walk over this icy lake. And he was so afraid because he thought the ice is going to break. But his wife became worse and worse, and he loved his wife so much, and so he decided, I'm going to chance it. I'm going to try and make it across this lake. And so there he went, And he very precociously and very carefully began to walk across the ice. And I mean, he just prayed and just believed and just was so careful with every step. And he got halfway across the lake, and all of a sudden he heard just what sounded like thunder. And he thought, oh my Lord, the ice has begun to crack. And he just, oh, I mean, his heart just sunk. And I mean, he just fear gripped him. And he heard this thunder. He thought, oh, it's begun to crack on the other side, and it's cracking all the way across. And I'm going to crash down. I'm going to die. This is it. I did my best. My wife's going to die. And all of a sudden he looked up and he realized it was about 100 men on horses, and they were riding across that ice. And he looked up and he watched as these men on horses went all the way across the ice. And I mean, he jumped up, and I mean, he wasn't taking baby steps now. He was running across that ice. You know why? Because he saw somebody that went across the ice and it didn't break. So if you're going through something and you're taking every little baby step and you think, I'm not going to make it, grab onto somebody that's a horseman, that's ridden across, that knows that you can trust God. Grab onto somebody like Sue that's been there, done that, and that's come out the other side. Grab one, because you can trust him. You see, God's word doesn't promise that we'll never have problems. Because Lord knows, I wouldn't write a story about my life. It would be too depressing. They would all be in your office for weeks. Maybe go through this. Just talk to me. I'll listen. I promise. I'm not that hard-headed, God. Just tell me. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. If you're walking through something, listen. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Say it with me, life is at work in me. Then down in verse 16 it says, therefore we do not lose heart. Church, don't lose heart. Boy, I'm spitting like crazy tonight. Don't lose heart, church. Maybe that's why it's so far away. I have figured it out. Don't lose heart. It's not the time to lose heart. You know one thing you can do? My dad used to always tell me this. Can the musicians go ahead and come forth? Can they come on? My dad used to tell me this. I'd go in there and I'd say, but this and that and this and that and this and that. And he'd laugh. And he, I don't know why I even went bothered to talk to him, because I knew what he was going to say. He'd laugh. He'd say, you know what you need to do? He said, you need to encourage yourself. Encourage myself? How can I encourage myself? He said, you need to encourage yourself in the Lord. And I said, oh, okay. And I said, well, how do I do that? He said, think of all the things God's brought you through. I said, oh, yeah, okay. Well, there must be one thing somewhere. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you. Well, I just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you, Lord. Well, I just want to say thank you for all you've done for me. I just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you, Lord. Well, I just want to say thank you for all you've done for me. Do you think you could play that? Well, I just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you, Lord. Well, I just want to say thank you for all you've done for me. I just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you, Lord. I just want to say a big fat thank you for all you've done for me. Remember that time when you thought you weren't going to be able to pay that bill? And God came through for you. Remember that? Remember the time when they said that you were sick and you weren't going to recover? Remember, and you did. Remember that? Remember that? You can keep playing. That's all right. You can play anything. I'll sing with it. Remember that? You know, Christmas can be an exciting time, but it can also be a sad time. When you've been through a lot, it can be a sad time. But tonight, I'm going to tell you, I've come here to encourage you not to lose heart. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Remember the things that He's brought you through and all He's done for you. And His arm is not short. He remembered you then and He remembers you now. He says, you know what? How could I forget you? How could I forget you? I remember when my dad was dying, he told me one day, he said, you know what? He said, if there's a way for me to watch you, I will. I said, well, you think there's a window in heaven? He said, I don't know. If there is, I'll find it. He said, because I was the first one to see you when you came into this world. And he said, I'll never take my eye off of you if I can. He said, I'll ask God to give me a note at my breakfast table or something. And if my earthly father loved me that much, how much more does the heavenly Father love me? He says, Marcia, I can't take my eyes off of you. The enemy says you're forgotten. But God says, I cannot forget you. My eyes are on you. That situation that you're struggling with, God says, I've got it. I've got it. I've got it under control. Come here. Thank you, Jesus. Stand up out of your seat right now in the name of Jesus. Sobre shamando rabasata. In the spirit, Lord, a mighty release comes. Oh, shamonde redesa. Oh, even now the load lifts, saith the Lord. Sobre nama son de rebese te amanda. The Lord says, for I have even now, I have set things in motion, saith the Lord. Shomende sabataramana. And you have worried in vain. Because the Lord says, I've got it, I've got it, I've got it. Sobre samanda ramano soto. Your anointing, Lord Jesus, right now. From the top of her head to the tips of her toes, even now. Oh, every yoke goes in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here tonight and you say, Marcia, I'm struggling with things. I'm wrestling with things. I do. I feel like God's forgotten me. And I mean, it's not a night for baloney Christianity. Well, what will people think? I don't care. They're always thinking something. No, I mean it. Especially if you're a woman, a million thoughts go through your mind at one time. But you, let me just tell you this. By tomorrow, they won't remember that you came down here. Because they won't remember what they had for dinner last night. But what you'll remember is that God touched you and that you were changed. So tonight, if you're hurting and you say, you know what? I feel like such a plain clay pot, Marcia, that there's nothing in me. I just need to be reminded that there's a treasure in me. I just want you to stand right where you are, and I want you just to come and meet me right here. You're not coming to meet me. You're coming to meet Jesus. He's going to touch you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Honesty, honesty, honesty. Thank you. Sobre samanda sataraba shataramana potere. Thanksgiving. Oh, I'll be living a sanctuary for you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. I want you to look right up here at me for just a minute. Jesus loves you so much. He sent me here tonight to just encourage you so you wouldn't lose heart. Do you hear me? So you wouldn't lose heart. Because I've been there. And some of y'all out there should be here. Come on up. If God convicts you, just come on up. It doesn't matter what position you have or don't have or have. The Lord is here right now to just minister to you. You haven't come for your brother or your sister or your dog or anybody. You've come for you. I just want you to lift your hands right now to the Lord. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you right now for a double dose of encouragement. Father, encourage my heart. Lord, let me know how much you love me, Jesus. Father, let me feel your presence in an awesome way. Father, let the past go. And let the newness that you have for me come, Jesus. Father, I release the past. And I walk into you, Lord God. And to my future with you. Touch me, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for refreshing right now. Oh, you're refreshing. Yes. Your anointing of refreshing, Lord God, goes right through Carol from the top of her head to the tips of her toes, Lord Jesus. Your anointing, Lord Jesus.